Pallet fit, sizing corrugated cases to ISO and GMA footprints. From Axiom Global Packaging Solutions. Most case designs start from the product and work outward, measure the item, add clearance, add board thickness, round up to something tidy. The pallet gets considered afterwards, if at all. For anything that ships in volume, that order is backwards, because the pallet footprint is a fixed, standardized constraint and the case is the only variable you actually control. A case that overruns the footprint by 15 mm per side does not cost you 15 mm. It costs a whole column of cases on every pallet, on every truck, for the life of the SKU. The footprints you are designing against. ISO 6780 defines the flat pallet plan dimensions used in international trade. ISO 3676 covers the unit load base sizes that follow from them, and the governing rule is simple: the unit load must not exceed the pallet plan dimensions. These are the footprints worth designing to. See the table in the article for the figures. If a product ships into more than one region, the case has to tile more than one of these. That is a real constraint, and it usually decides the case dimensions before any other consideration does. Footprint utilization is the number to design against. The metric is straightforward. For a single orientation layer, see the table in the article for the figures. Above roughly 95% the layer is efficient. Below about 85% you are palletizing air, paying to move and store void, and the gap does not appear anywhere on a purchase order. The two flow functions are where the money is, they are step functions, so a few millimeters of case dimension can be worth an entire row. A worked example. Take a case of 12 retail cartons, each 95 by 62 by 240 millimeters, shipping on a 1200 by 1000 millimeters pallet. The obvious internal arrangement is 3 across by 4 deep. See the table in the article for the figures. Rotating the case 90 degrees gives flow, 1200 and 260ths, equals 4, and flow, 1297ths, equals 3, which is the same 12 cases. A pinwheel pattern mixing both orientations also lands on 12. The layer is not badly packed by accident. The case dimensions simply do not tile this footprint, and no stacking pattern rescues it. Now change nothing about the product, the unit count, the board grade or the case height. Arrange the same 12 cartons 4 across by 3 deep instead. See the table in the article for the figures. Same product, same 12 units per case, same flute, same case height, and the layer carries 3 more cases. The only thing that changed is which internal arrangement was chosen, and that decision was made long before anyone looked at a pallet. Option B also uses slightly less board per case than option A, because a 392 by 198 footprint has a smaller perimeter than 297 by 260 at a very similar internal volume, a secondary effect, but one moving in the right direction rather than against it. Overhang, underhang, and where the load actually goes. A corrugated case carries its stacking load mainly through the vertical corner columns. The panels between them contribute far less. Every pallet fit decision follows from that one fact. Overhang, a case extending past the pallet deck, has a corner with nothing underneath it. The corner that is meant to carry the load is the one left unsupported, so the case hinges rather than compresses in column. It is the most damaging thing you can do to a stack, and a board upgrade does not cleanly compensate for it. Underhang, a load set well inboard of the deck edge is safer than overhang but still costs. You are paying for a pallet footprint you are not using, and the outer cases lose the edge of deck support that keeps the bottom layer squared during clam handling and transport vibration. Design for flush, the load footprint inside the pallet plan dimensions, with no case wall past the deck. Column stack or interlock. A column stack puts every corner post directly above the one below it. That is the only pattern that transfers compression the way the Mackey prediction and an ASTM D642 box compression test assume. An interlocked pattern rotates alternate layers to tie the stack together laterally, which helps stability when unitizing is light, but it deliberately misaligns the corner posts. Load then arrives in the middle of a panel instead of on a column. If the operation requires interlocking, treat it as a reduction in the available compression budget rather than as a free stability gain, and validate the real pattern, ASTM D642 compression on the actual case, then ASTM D4169 or ISTA 3A on the actual unit load for the distribution profile it will see. Turning the footprint into a compression budget. Once the layer pattern is fixed, the stack height follows, and so does the load on the bottom case. For a column stack, the bottom case carries everything directly above it. See the table in the article for the figures. That static figure is the starting point, not the requirement. A laboratory box compression value is measured on a new, unhandled case conditioned at 23C and 50% RH, loaded to failure in minutes. Real cases sit for weeks, take up moisture, creep under sustained load, and reach the warehouse already handled. The compression budget therefore has to be derated for storage duration, storage humidity, stacking pattern and case-to-case variation before it is compared against a laboratory number. Those derating factors belong to your own condition test data and to published handbook guidance for your climate and dwell time. They are not a universal constant, and a design that skips them is not a design. The second tiling problem, pallets into the container. Optimizing the case onto the pallet and then ignoring how pallets load into the trailer or container just moves the void one level up. If 40 feet ISO dry container has internal dimensions of roughly 12,030 by 2,350 mm. See the table in the article for the figures. Pallet orientation is a flow function too, and the losing orientation is not obvious until the arithmetic is done. Run it for every lane the SKU actually ships on, including the ones using a different container or trailer width. When not to design footprint first. The product dimension is genuinely fixed. Glass, rigid molded goods, machinery and assembled units do not rearrange. Optimize the pallet choice and the layer pattern instead of the case. Shelf-ready or retail-ready packaging. If the case has to match a shelf module or a planogram, the retail dimension governs and pallet fit becomes a downstream compromise. Case count is tied to an order multiple. Changing units per case to improve a layer can break pick face logic, minimum order quantities and price breaks. Fix the count, then optimize the arrangement inside it, exactly as option B does. An existing case is already qualified. Any dimensional change invalidates an ISTA 3A or ASTM D4169 qualification. Retesting is required, and for a low-volume SKU the die change plus re-qualification may not be justified. A design checklist. Name the target pallet footprints first, including every region the SKU ships to. Enumerate the internal arrangements of the fixed unit count, not just the obvious one. Compute external dimensions properly, internal, plus clearance, plus board caliper on each face, plus a bulge allowance. Calculate layer utilization for both case orientations and for a pinwheel pattern. Reject any pattern with overhang. Treat interlocking as a compression cost, not a free gain. Derive the bottom case load from the final stack height and derate it before comparing with a box compression result. Repeat the tiling arithmetic for pallets into the container or trailer. Qualify the final unit load to ASTM D4169 or ISTA 3A before it replaces a running case. None of this needs a new material or a heavier board. It needs the dimensional arithmetic done before the die is cut, in the order the constraints actually apply, footprint, then layer pattern, then stack height, then compression budget, then verification testing. Axiom runs that sequence as part of case design and models the alternative arrangements rather than accepting the first one that happens to hold the product.